Well, they blew up ugly chickens in Bonanza last night. Now they burned down the jobs board too. Down at the showdown, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them merchant boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from CBS, and Jonathan Karsh can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble by the microwave, and the town council's hanging on by the skin of their teeth. Well, now everyone cries, baby, that's a fact. But everyone that cries chugs their root beer back. Put your gold star on, show bandana pretty, and meet me at Kid Nation in Bonanza City.
Well, hello there again, pioneers.
Pioneers!
Congratulations, you have died of dysentery. I wouldn't be a proper 90s kid if I didn't ask. Were you like Oregon Trail, Y or N?
Wait, say the name of that state again.
Oregon? Wait, I think I just said it totally wrong than what I... Oregon.
The first time you said Oregon.
No, I didn't.
You did.
Oregon.
Rewind the tape. Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, of course. I was a huge, big gamer as a youth, and that included the Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail. Yeah, I'm sorry I had to ask that question. Me and Pablo actually, like, besides Kid Nation, we're kind of out of things to talk about because we're day 8 or 9 of the coronavirus quarantine. We were trying to keep this show evergreen. We were trying to keep it away from the time and illusions of society, but it might still be going on by the time this comes out. We don't really know. Life is very weird right now.
Yeah, we have no idea if this whole series will be released like 6 months from now or 3 months from now.
Maybe it's not going to be 6 months. It's not going to be 6 months.
But like the coronavirus, we have no idea if it'll be 6 months from now, 3 months from now.
I just want to go on the record and say we started this before the coronavirus.
Yes.
This was not a coronavirus podcast. It just so happened to halfway through... it hit. So
yeah, when we finally release this on the album art of every episode, there'll be a huge warning label that says we did not start this during the quarantine.
Yeah, we mean, also if you did start a podcast during the quarantine, that's fine, good for you. I'm just saying this didn't, like, this happened before.
Well, there's a couple off mic, I'll tell you that I have some problems with.
By the way, I don't know if you know this. Pablo is a critic of the art. He makes the art, but yet he criticizes.
Yes, I am the one who scribes about podcasts on Vulture.com.
Wow.
But now I am the speaker of pod.
You are the speaker of pod. And every time I'm like, Pablo, review my podcast on Vulture, he's like, it'd be insider trading. So he's like a very ethical critic. So read Pablo's other podcast reviews and he'll tell you. He's like, he's got one podcast in one headphone and one podcast in the other. That's how hardcore he is about his pods.
Yeah, I mean, these days I probably listen to like 5 or 6 podcasts a day, and that's
Do you really? No, when? I live with you. When do you do this?
The shower, when I drive to work, when I drive home from work. If I'm not working, I'm just, when I'm at home.
I guess you do have headphones in. Wow.
I mean, lately it's been kind of replaced by the dead.
Yeah.
That's my current thing.
We're deadheads here also, if you didn't know this, in the Kid Nation universe.
Yeah, speaking of which, Jared.
Oh my God.
Is arguably he's arguably a deadhead. He's not on tour anymore with Dead & Co. this summer, but I bet you he went to summer tour 2019.
Wow, this was a really good episode for the crunchy heads, for the, you know, the Bernie Sanders voters, for the Vermontians, for the crunchy cheese whiz kids. Like,
yeah, it's a big Jared episode. And
he's
wearing his signature tie-dye in almost every scene.
Gonna say, Jared really, like, for a second I was like, Jared did something really bad in this episode and we'll talk about it. So I was like, do I hate Jared? And then Jared, like, was a redemption arc and it was really dope. This episode is insane. We talked a little bit on the last episode and I was like, I thought the last episode was every episode is good, but episode 6 was really overproduced and really highly edited and just not as satisfying as another, like, as mm-hmm. as other episodes. But this episode was really good.
Yes, this is episode 7, The Root of All Evil. And as you can guess by the title, we're talking about Ching Ching. Roger Waters, you hear the cash registers. Ching Ching, boom, 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 boom.
Boom, 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 boom.
Money is bad. It'll make you do bad stuff for the money, money.
Money, it fucks your dads. It makes you cry all over your bags.
That was one of the first bass lines I learned as like a seventh grader.
That is like the first bass line, actually.
Dum, 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 dum. Yeah, man created fire and then he created that bass line.
You know about the Laserium, rest in peace?
I don't know specifically, but I'm assuming it's like a planetary. Was this in LA?
It was Van Nuys.
Van Nuys. Of course, it's in the valley.
It was when I first moved to LA. I don't know how I heard about this, but it's now closed, and I think they were maybe gonna move somewhere else. And there might be like a poorly made documentary about this place on YouTube. But Laserium was a place where you bring your own folding chair, and it's indoors. It was in one of those kind of park, kind of industrial areas, like where like a trampoline place would be, and then also like a warehouse for freight. But you bring your own folding chair, and I'm pretty sure you brought your own booze, and you could buy like milk duds and shit at the front counter, and you just come into an empty kind of small theater room, plop your chair, and then like an old school 70s laser show would play to like whatever music it is that night, whether it was like The Doors or a Beatles thing. But I went for a Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon album beginning to end laser show, and it's like old.
Did they show a Wizard of Oz too?
Pablo, oh, they didn't show that. Yeah, actually, Dorothy came and she was opening the cash register in my hand.
They didn't sync up the Dark Side to Wizard of Oz.
No, they just sunk up it to big lasers of hammers and pigs flying and all of, like, the good stuff. But it was like,
that's pretty sick.
But the lasers were very like old, like they were. You could tell
the 70s.
Yeah, from the 70s. So this episode really is wild. Okay, so it's about money, and we first meet Divad, who's just slinging some peach cobbler.
Yeah, she's a girl, a kid, who we haven't really seen much of in the previous 6 episodes.
I do have a note, and maybe we said it before. Obviously, I'm not going back and listening immediately after we record, but I do think she was maybe like kind of like a Christian hater during the religious riot.
She does not come off as a Christian hater at all in this episode.
But I have her written down for my notes, and I'm pretty sure she was like a person that's like, yeah, I think we're gonna fight. Like, I think she was just kind of really? Like, yeah.
She comes off in this episode as like a 50-year-old church lady.
Well, doesn't that make sense for the religious riot episode?
You said she was a Christian hater?
No. She was a Christian who was a hater towards the blending of the religions.
Got it.
During the religious riot of Bonanza City 2007 or whatever year that was. So we're learning it's a money episode. Divad, who we met like briefly, but this is really her big episode, is selling pre-made like apple kebabs and like peach cobbler and things.
So what she did is she went into the, what are they called?
The free pantry. Pantry. It's where all the food is.
She went to the pantry and just straight up stole a bunch of the food and then prepared it.
Your Honor, I'd like to interject. She did not steal it. The pantry is open to anyone. She took it and repurposed it for a business plan.
And she is selling it for profit and for like keeping the money.
Okay, she's selling, what was it? She's selling one square of peach cobbler, which she made for like 5 cents.
Yeah, but she didn't grow the peach cobbler and can it herself. She stole it from the community pantry.
I think it's bullshit. I think it's sexism and racism and just like women businessism. Like, I don't think she did anything wrong. Is this like a real, like,
did we're you
like
vote for Biden? Is this what you're trying to tell me?
Shut the fuck up. Also, by this point, Biden has already died of coronavirus.
Yes.
So.
Actually, let me check my iPhone. Oh, Biden died of corona 2 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. No, I don't think she did anything wrong. Like, it was open. Also, they're bored, right? I'm sure they're bored. And what? Yeah, I guess she could make it and give it up for free. But I don't mind that she's just trying to get up. Hey, Bonanza City's not the easiest place to fucking live. So she's just trying to make it, get some money in her pocket. I understand. I'm not judging it. And it's really well run. It wasn't, she wasn't like, it didn't feel like she was scamming anybody. No one's forcing anyone to buy anything. I think she was just chill and be like, if you want this thing I made, would you, do you mind compensating me for this?
Well, the kids were chill because they're 8-year-olds and they're idiots and they don't know that they're literally being robbed blind.
I'm like, honestly, we're going to like break up during
this. Are you a Rockefeller? Like, what is with this like pro-business stance you have?
Why can't she have a business in Bonanza City?
The equivalent of what she did is like she bought property next to an oil field that doesn't belong to her, stole the oil that belonged to the school.
Bullshit. I'm calling bullshit.
Underneath so, Beverly Hills.
What if she plucked a bunch of free lemons from a tree and then made it into lemonade? Then be the same thing.
Does the tree belong to the entire community? And yes. Does it feed the community? And it's agreed upon that it's everybody's stuff.
But it clearly didn't. No one's hurting from the one can of apple she took.
Oh.
Okay, Pablo, this is like, honestly, I have to go. And this is the part where I dramatically like drop the mic and like, well, you hear us talking, well, but the mic's on the floor.
Well, you know one person who agreed with me? Fucking Jared.
I don't think it's quite fair for people to be paying Devad for stuff that they could move. She should at least have some competition. Do you see where I'm going?
Okay, my but boy. Okay, spoiler alert, then he has a business at the end anyway. So what, really? Are you joking me? This is bullshit. Wait. This is sexism. But so this snack bar, just like our conversation here, is driving the town nuts. Like, people are starting to freak out a little bit.
Yeah, but like, Jared literally throws...
He vandalized it.
He stomps into her little booth, trashes it. He trashes it like Jesus.
I thought that was so horrible. I thought that was really sad. Okay, maybe, like, I just...
That was pretty cool.
No, I see a young, enterprising girl who just thought she was doing something cool and, like, fun. And, I don't know, it's like playing... You're in a town. You're in a pioneer town. You're playing business. I think it's, like, imaginative and fun. And, yeah, she's, like, a little business people.
Devad is a blood-sucking capitalist. Bullshit. And Jared is a socialist. In fact, this scene reminded me of maybe famous socialist... Jesus.
He's not a socialist. He sells necklaces later on.
Have you seen Jesus Christ Superstar?
I don't think so. But I know like the main Jesus Christ.
This is literally the scene where Jesus comes back to the temple and smashes like the money lenders and merchant tables.
Anyways, I disagree with everything. Rolling
up for my prices down. Come on in for the best in town.
I think it was really rude and like sad for Jared to like say screw you and like push all this over. Also,
that was fucking tight.
I don't. Also, like the young girl, there's like the young girl who's like on the yellow team who we've only heard some quotes of sometimes. Like, she was the one who also is like, George Bush was a fucking moron and he's president. So that is cool.
She's great.
She said something because she was yelling at Jared for being a dick, which he was. And she was like,
Bill Gates has so much money. He made Microsoft. Nobody complained about that.
Wait, didn't the federal government sue Microsoft in a huge antitrust suit in like the late 90s? It was like, girl, like a 10-year-old girl in 2007.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think, I mean, my note right away was like, wow, this episode is starting out hot. This is like actual high key drama. And Devad, I mean, Jared vandalizes it. He tosses it. Everything breaks. It's really, I feel sad for her. I think it's like a hater. I think it's a hater hate crime from fucking Jared, honestly. But Devad just sweeps it up and she's like, you know, people try to knock you down and rip you up. And like, that's just because they're like jealous and it's just going to make me work harder. And I was like, I was just like, I can't believe this mature attitude on this kid.
Of course she's mature. She can just go back to the pantry and steal some more canned peaches to do her little scheme.
I think if this was a white male, no one would give. I think if this was Jared, no one would be saying any of this.
Jared is a proud Jewish man, okay?
Oh my God. I'm just saying, I think there is like,
he's a proud Jewish lesbian.
You can say it. I think there's like a lot of racism towards the end of this episode. I shouldn't be laughing while I say this. I think there's a lot of racism that comes out, especially towards the end of this episode, that we will talk about and we've talked about in previous episodes.
I agree, and I don't think it was against Devad. I think it was against...
Okay, well, get to please it. Sound off in the comments and in the Reddit threads that we're obviously in. So now it's time for the journal, because we've got to know what the fuck is going on in Bonanza.
Yes.
And it's 4/20, blaze it.
It's April 20th. They've been there for 7 years.
April 20th, 1885.
I wonder if it really was in April and if it was just like a really snowy spring town and they were filming over spring break. My production mind is just like, when did they film this? So they get the journal, and the journal was basically like, yeah, guys, capitalism is loco, but guess what? There is a cave filled with possibly treasure, and you guys got to go find it. Also, I like this journal because I don't think other journal sessions did this. We're seeing a split screen of like how the other kids are feeling in this time. Like they show Mallory in the shop not being able to buy stuff, which is really sad. And she used to own that shop. She used to be a proud merchant. So she can't find anything. And I just made it that like this episode's edited really like intensely, but it's not produced. Like I feel like it's a well-crafted high drama episode. So yeah. The journal's like, go to the mine and look for gold.
Hike to the mine and divide the fortune you find, to be exact.
Shut the fuck up. I didn't really say that.
Yeah, it does. They're getting Dr. Seuss up in this.
Wow. So the council's a little torn on this clue or thing that they're being told from the journal. Laurel, classic Laurel's like,
I don't think it's a good idea. People are going to get greedy and selfish. This is a really bad idea. I'm so against it. No way.
Zach is like, we should check it out. Like, we should see what's there. Why we'd be fools to not go. And we should go, and then we can decide.
Also, Zach's like, there's literally no episode unless we do this, so we should probably go to the mine.
Totally.
The bat-infested
okay,
mine.
Okay, yeah. So, I can't believe, again, I think I black out so many episodes that I'm like, why don't I remember any of this? But I can't believe they made them go in this real ass mine. Like you could tell that thing could have collapsed on them at any moment.
Yeah, if there was like a 4.5 earthquake, it would have been them. And the only thing the rescuers at CBS would have found were like bat bones and like Zach's shoe.
And Laurel's braces. So these kids are like truly going down a mine. There's bats flying around. It's really scary. It's basically the opening scene of Uncut Gems. They're just like, find this big treasure suitcase.
There's also a great cut where like something jumps out at them and they cut it to in a manner where it's like, did they just get killed? It's like, oh, right. It's like a horror movie cut. And it's like,
whoa, watch your head. It stinks. Well, I wonder what's up there. Look, there's light up there. Oh my God.
So they're in the cave and they find this suitcase that has like $300 or something. $300 in buffalo nickels or...
Yes, it's 375 buffalo nickels, with Anjay calculates on the spot
to
be worth like $18 and fucking 40 cents
but
or some
I guess
shit.
That was technically like $6 million back then, so it was like a lot of money.
Yes.
So yeah, they find it and they're like, what do we do with this? And then this is when... we're just like... really getting deep into Jared. He's like hippied out. This is when we get a great quote from him about like trying, like I think he's now sad about being an asshole.
Yeah, because it's not in Jared's tendency to, you know, like vandalize.
Well, I think Jared was kind of having like a temper tantrum. He's a child, you know, as being Kid Nation.
Yes, he's 4 years old.
And I think he acted out. And I think Devad also knew Jared's kind of like probably a sweet boy at heart. And she was like, she approached him and was like, I forgive you. And Jared was sorry. And yeah, that's when Jared talks about spreading peace and love.
I'm here to add a little peace and love to this place.
Yeah, they just make up. And I thought that was really nice to see kids resolve conflict in a really, I don't know. It was cool. Like you don't see kids do that often, or adults do that often. Also in the midst of this like money chaos, Sophia does this like performance art piece where she makes like a big pile of shit and like slop that looks like poo, like a bucket of poo water, basically.
She basically does what Devad does and steals a bunch of stuff from the pantry, but instead of selling it, she just throws it in some giant vat and like forces she puts buffalo nickels at the bottom.
Did she really put buffalo nickels or was it a trick?
She did, but she put like three.
I have noticed lately that people are very desperate for money, so I'm going to take a pot and fill it up with really, really nasty stuff that resembles vomit. Put 50 cents at the bottom and see how many people will dig for it. Baked beans, condensed milk, potatoes, oatmeal. Let's top this off with some rotting vegetables. All right, this is disgusting, it stinks, and it's perfect. Let's go.
So did you like, is it okay for Sophia to take cans to do that?
Of course not. During, while we were watching it, I was fucking going after Sophia too.
So just so everyone knows, if you were in Kid Nation in Bonanza City with Pablo, he'd be the narc and he wouldn't let you steal any cans from
Sophia
the pantry.
Is like Jigsaw from Saw.
The council members survived the like future emphysema they now are about to get from this cave.
And yeah, they all have 9/11 lung.
And they come to the barn and go like, so it was kind of left on a cliffhanger of like, are they going to give everybody money? Are they not going to tell them? Like, what are they going to do with it? And they make a really cool democratic socialist move and they go, everybody, we found a boatload of buffalo nickels in the abandoned cave. So what we're going to do is we're just going to buy out the store and we're just going to buy every pogo stick, every toy, like
baseball bats.
So instead of all the Bonanza City people who all have different, you know, class ranges and make different amounts of money, now all this stuff is basically free use. It's like,
yeah,
it's a beautiful socialist Kid Nation.
Also, while I was watching this, I finally realized 7 episodes in, like, oh, when you buy stuff at the store, it doesn't go to the merchant class. It just, you have to buy it from CBS production.
Yeah, it just goes to like the ether of nothing.
It goes straight to Les Moonves. These buffalo nickels.
So yeah, it's just showing the kids all kind of enjoying all the stuff that's now kind of out of the store. They're playing stickball, which was a really clutch grandparent move. Grandparents watching CBS love a good stickball. They are like, yeah, you know, I actually grew up in Brooklyn, and they, and you go, what, grandma?
Yeah, and we saw Alex run by with the hoop and the stick. Not really, but I wish we did.
Oh my god, there's such a good Alex scene coming up later, but we'll cross that bridge. And then we meet Nathan.
Nathan is, I'm not saying who's gonna get my gold star at the end of the episode, but he's definitely like MVP of this episode.
I mean, technically,
I'm not saying I like him. I'm just saying he's definitely like the main storyline, especially considering we've never met him before.
I mean, this episode could have been called Kid Nathan because it was 100% about Nathan.
Yes, we meet Nathan, who is the most homeschooled boy in the world. He has OCD.
I think Nathan definitely had some like issues with social settings that, like, again, we're not doctors, but it does appear that Nathan isn't like processing information the same way the rest of the nation is.
Yeah, he's also dressed like Tom Cruise.
I like his jacket. I think he looks cool.
Well, my mother, she homeschools us, so she has to, does math and reading and spelling, all that.
His mom gave it to him when he was like 4 and was like, Nathan, you are my little aviator. you have OCD like Howard Hughes, so you're gonna wash your hands.
He is a little like that. And so Nathan, we meet Nathan, and he's addicted to doing laundry.
Hi, Nathan. Why don't you just chill out for a little while? The laundry is way behind. If you wash the laundry really well, it can take forever.
He likes to scrub the clothes till like late at night. And you can tell like this behavior, even the kids are like, Nathan, what are you doing? You're still washing clothes so late. And he's like, it's got to get done.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God.
And he's washing the clothes on your classic washboard.
Yeah. Like his hands are bleeding.
Which leads us to an amazing scene where Nathan and Alex are jointly washing a pair of girls' panties.
Oh. Yeah. And they're like, can you guys stop?
Lily, do you have to wash everything about 1,000 times?
I do.
Oh, darn.
What the heck is that?
I have no idea, but it's disgusting.
That's like girls' underwear. That's it. Guys, you don't have to do that, guys. Don't worry, we'll get it.
No, it's fine.
Oh, Nathan, like, he can't really, like, no one really can get through to Nathan.
Yeah, there is one scene I noticed where he went up to a group of 4 kids and was like, hey, guys, can you have your laundry done by whatever? And one of the girls was kind of mean to him, like, ugh, okay. And then one of the boys, it was maybe, you know who it was? It was Michael. Michael was kind of sweetly was just like, all right, thank you, Nathan, and kind of turned around doing, like, the polite, like,
right,
you're weird, but I'm not going to bully you. Cause
right. He, like, I think the kids recognize he's not. Also, the kids get in their spats, but overall, like, they're pretty, like, decently nice kids, it seems like. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
For the most part.
We'll find out some real dirt soon.
Well, actually, one person who's not nice is Greg.
Oh, well, that's the next scene we see.
Yeah.
The water bucket fight. We have no idea what this fight is about, by the way.
Yeah. So the blue team is the laborers for the first time in Kid Nation.
Uh-huh.
And so they're doing the dishes, and Nathan even though he's the greatest washer of clothes of all time, he can't wash a damn dish to save his life.
Yeah, Nathan, I can't even say he's a great clothes washer. I think he's just really fascinated with it, and he doesn't want to stop. So Nathan and Greg are fighting about water buckets or something. It's a really unclear fight that only could happen in Kid Nation.
It seems like a story produced.
I don't think so. I think Greg was just truly like, I'm trying to do some dishes, and Nathan's been washing the same shirt for 8 hours. Like, move your shit. And Greg kind of threw that shade at Devad too, which we'll get there, because Devad's gonna come back in the storyline. But everyone's main complaint about Devad, which I think is partially sexism, racism, but mm-hmm. also maybe I get their point because I wasn't there, was that she just, instead of helping, she was just doing her side business. That's what everyone was like mainly complaining about. Like,
yeah, because what class was she for this?
Do you remember? She's Red, so I can't remember what Red was doing this episode.
Maybe like merchants or some shit. But
I don't know. So Nathan's the saddest boy. He's just sad.
He's basically the son in the Noah Baumbach movie.
This is actually the note I had, that Blue and Red were clearly new to chores, because everyone seemed really grumpy too, because like Blue's never labored before, and I'm pretty sure Red was like dishes and like cleaning and Red's whatever.
Usually merchant.
Yeah, these are two normally upper class people. Groups of people who are now like scrubbing doo-doo for the first time. Mm-hmm. Then we meet Pharaoh a little bit. So Pharaoh is a young boy on the yellow team, and we're kind of introduced to him just by him kind of just being like, hey, I come from like a pretty like poor house, and like I'd really like the gold star, and it would mean so much to me. And you know, he's like a young boy of color, and he's just kind of like, all of his scenes throughout the show of this episode are him just kind of like talking to someone one-on-one and being like to Zach or to somebody else, and just being like, I'm working really hard and hope people notice because like I really need the money. And it was like, that was hard to watch. Like, that was really sad. And I think a lot of the kids don't really get it. You know what I mean? I think they hear that and they're like, damn, that's sad. But I don't think they get like the magnitude of someone like being vulnerable like that and saying like, yo, like, you're just doing this for like fun, like what Mallory and whatever, getting gold stars for like fun. But like, what if we actually thought about who could really benefit the most, or like who's in the most fucked up financial place?
Well, good thing the kids all came to Bonanza City with their parents' tax returns and their statements, so they can all find out which kid's the poorest and give them the gold stars.
I mean, I sense some sarcasm in that tone, but like, I get it. You can't really rank people, but I don't know, if I was in a spot where I could possibly get 20 grand and like, and my mom's, I'm painting a picture, like, and your water gets turned off or your light bills aren't always on, maybe you're like, fuck, I'm gonna like put my name out there and like see what can happen. I get that.
I mean, in the real world, of course, it's like, I want Pharaoh to win. But in the world of Bonanza City, he didn't make much of an impact on me this episode.
And I think it's just because in Bonanza City, it's a game of like, people want to notice you organically, and the council members kind of hint at it later when we get to the finale. But I think people don't really want you to make a pitch for getting, because remember when Greg was thirsty for the gold star and was like mad he didn't get it, and then he acted out for an episode and then he just chilled, and then they were like, okay, Greg, now you get the gold star. So yeah, you can't really be too, the council doesn't like thirst, let's just put it like that. Anyways, Devad's got a new job for herself, which is cooking like fried potatoes.
fried slices of potatoes.
She does burn herself with oil in the face,
but unfortunately it's off camera.
But I liked what she was saying in her like solo interview. The soundbite of, I don't want to be just a potato girl, like I want to be nice to people and I want people to notice me and I really want the gold star and I'm just trying. And I'm like, I don't know, I think that's like very cute and self-aware and like noble to be like, I'm gonna try to get the gold star, like I'm gonna be nice to people, I'm gonna cook, I'm really gonna like put myself out there as like, I don't know, like, but maybe it's very like Tracy Flick-ish from Election or something. Is that like the vibe?
Well, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but literally during the town council nominations, she's outside with potato skins giving free appetizers to people, being like, please vote for me, vote for Tracy Devad.
I know. I mean, I don't know. I like a try hard. So anyways, it's challenge time. And first of all, we start off this challenge in a really cute way where Mallory and Alex are on the shoulders of some of the big boys. And God, that was cute. Yes. I just like love seeing they're so cute.
Alex and Mallory combined weigh about 27 pounds.
They are lightweight. They are like chihuahuas, just want to hold them. So it's challenge time, and this challenge is like a little more straightforward. I did mince my words because when I first saw what they were doing, I was like, this is impossible, they're never going to be able to do this. And then these kids have good hand eye because they were shooting a slingshot, very also of this era.
Yeah, so let's explain it a little bit. So basically on one side of a mm-hmm. wall, the right. kids have a slingshot where they have to shoot golden eggs, aka
real eggs
that are just painted at golden.
Yes.
And they have to shoot it over a wall to where three kids basically have one of those old-timey firemen right. trampolines to catch ladies falling out of the burning building.
Right.
But in the middle is a giant wall, so they can't see where they're shooting, but a town council member is directing traffic.
Right. The town council member is like in like almost a crow's nest, yeah. and they're like yelling, too high, too short, too whatever.
Or if you're the genius, the human genius, Anjay, you just have a hand signals.
Yeah, which, I thought that was smart. He yeah. made hand signals to signify too short, too long, or too whatever. Blue was in the lowest spot, and they were like, we're never fucking up again. Like, Blue doesn't yeah. play. So they're doing the slingshot. Mallory has amazing wraparound, like, goggle sunglasses. I'm just, like, fascinated with. And her job is to put the eggs in this box and close it every time. And it's almost like it almost looks like a locket necklace box that, like, a grandma would have. But it's filled with golden eggs.
And it's made out of tree stump. Yeah. Which is really cool.
So they're doing it, and they're doing the challenge. And they have to get, the numbers are always insane. They have to get 48
total
eggs in like 15 minutes. And again, this is the part where me and Pablo always go, wait, each team has to get 48 eggs. And then we go, oh, wait, combined. That's like every episode. Like, that was like the cans in the pig episode last time. They're like, you need 100 cans. We're like, 100 cans each. And we're like, oh, wait, divided by four.
It's still a pretty daunting number considering they're timed and these are kids and they've never done this before.
Totally.
And the only person who's tested this shit out is like a couple PAs in a grip. But anyway, so Guylan, the leader of the red team, they're doing so bad that they don't get a single egg until like the last couple minutes.
Right.
And Green isn't doing too hot either.
Yeah, but Yellow and Blue seem to be getting a hang of it. They got the motion set. So we're about to count some eggs, and first up is Red. They got five measly eggs.
Five. Horrible. So every team, of course, needs to average 12 eggs.
Right. And then Green, six eggs.
Six.
Not looking good, everybody.
So they have a total of 11. The next two teams need to get 37 total.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Steve are looking into it like,
these
kids aren't going to get this.
I even wrote down before this, no prize. And then I deleted it because I was like, no prize this up. And then I was like, I minced my words.
Ye of little faith of these little kids.
Yellow steps up. 18 eggs.
Yes, 18 eggs.
Pretty good.
Holy shit.
But Blue still got to get quite a bit more.
It's only 19.
How many eggs, Pablo?
They got fucking 19 eggs.
Blue?
Didn't they get 19? Well, they got...
No, they got 38 eggs.
38. I didn't write it down.
Oh, I thought you had it. That's right. Sorry. Well, 38 eggs.
Yeah, yes, you're right. Yeah, they got 38 eggs.
38 eggs!
That's insane.
If you're in the Kid Nation, your jaw's on the floor from 38 eggs from the Blue team.
It's Anjay. Anjay is like the Wilt Chamberlain of egg slingshotting.
Yeah.
It's a 100-point game.
I would say he's more of like a coach. Is Wilt Chamberlain a coach? So they did really good. They won. Also, Alex, insert the best scream I've ever heard. Hang on, baby. Wait, let's harmonize. Wait, hang on. I have to get mine. So, yeah. So now it's time for the prizes. Prize one is like a laundromat, like a few, like four or five washing machines that need quarter.
And dryers. Is it washers and dryers?
Washers and dryers. And they cost like, they're expensive. It's like $1 to wash or something.
But I think they're probably formatted to take Buffalo nickels from the 1800s.
I guess. Or they could get a change of clothes, which again, just like the toothbrush episode, I was like, do they only have one pair of clothes?
Yeah, these nasty little kids not bathing or wiping their ass, and they're not
wearing
changing
the same outfit every day. And then also like a few, an old timey washer for each team.
Yes, whereas right now they have the washer
Like a bucket. Washing
board. This time they have an actual machine.
Like a hand cranking.
Yeah.
Looks fun. Kids are excited.
It's like a legit 1850s pioneer tech or something.
So it didn't really take much. I mean, also we knew what they're, it didn't take much deliberation. They just, they got the machine washers. But the point of this prize, this or the other, was someone in the crowd was like, not everyone can even afford to wash their clothes if we got the expensive washer. So the kids had to go like, well, what's the most reasonable option mm-hmm. that's fair for everyone's wallet, for everybody? I mean, truly socialism. Everything's socialism
the,
in this.
The kids finally made a sensible decision.
It's true. And they arrived at it like in a smart way, not because of like accidentally getting there.
Yeah.
So yeah. Also, me and Pablo also lost our mind because Karsh was like, blue team won that for their team. And me and Pablo both stopped in our tracks and went, yellow did too. Yellow picked up the like.
Yeah, he said something like, and you guys will win the challenge all because of blue. And yellow's like, what the fuck? We got one less point than them.
I also think they didn't get
actually, excuse me. Yeah. They did not get one less point, but they still
I also their think weight. Yellow didn't even care as much as we did because I'm pretty sure they did not respond to that statement. But we like at the same exact moment lost our minds and I looked at him and I said, baby, this is how you know we're in the Kid Nation Nation.
Karsh is very passive aggressive, whether it's calling Anjay Anjay.
Yeah, he does do that.
You know.
Yeah. So anyways, we're back in Bonanza. We have washers. Everyone's pumped. So Jared gets back to town. He has a magnifying glass and Jared is using the magnifying glass to burn wood and he's making custom hippie parking lot deadhead necklaces, yeah. Taking wood carvings and writing like, what is it, Bonanza City 2007 or something on it?
No, he's making custom ones just like you could buy at Disneyland or like your local state fair.
Yeah, so he's making necklaces and he's rich and Jared be shopping.
45, 45, 45, 50.
Holy banana bread!
I made $2.90 off of my necklaces.
I have a bonfire in my pocket and it's burning to be spent.
Yeah, after Jared makes a fucking Buco Dolores on Shakedown Street, he then goes to the store and buys. This is how you know it's story produced, because he literally is dressed like a pimp. He's dressed like Kramer in the episode of Seinfeld where he accidentally becomes a pimp.
Bow, bow, bow. Show off my outfit. Hey, me guy.
Hey, Dad.
You look good.
Thanks. I love this city, don't you?
When Jared says, like, oh, I'm spreading peace and love, man, he does this, like, stumble that's clearly, like, his fourth take, and the producer's like, oh, it's fine. Like, you got it.
But this time he says something really fucked up. It's like an episode of The Deuce. He goes over to some girl, and he's like, you bet your bottom dollar, baby, or something. And it's yeah. Like, oh, God.
Also, again, girl who, like, I feel like her name is never on the screen, comes up to Jared and says, like, my favorite quote of all time that's like,
I think it's really genius that he would come up with this really fascinating idea.
I appreciate her energy. She says the dumbest shit, and I maybe actually low-key favorite. Also, Jared, he's like walking around in his pimp outfit, and he says, I love this city, don't you? And he's just like really taking it all in. I'm just big into Jared. So also, Pharaoh, again, he's back. You know, we're getting sprinklings of Pharaoh just kind of like being like, I could use some help, which I, you know, that's fair.
Hey, I get it.
He's being vulnerable. Nathan's again up late doing laundry. This is, I mean, the fact that he's wearing the aviator jacket, and I didn't even notice that he's acting like Howard Hughes in The Aviator. Just really big.
And this came out, like, I believe 2 or 3 years after The Aviator.
Oh.
Swept the nation. Americans could not stop talking about Leonardo DiCaprio's Howard Hughes in Martin Scorsese's The Aviator.
The Aviator.
I saw that in theaters by myself.
You did?
Because when I was 15, I was still very much like, oh, I'm going to become a director, and I'm really into like cinema. But like, I didn't have any friends, so I went to the Vista by myself and saw Martin Scorsese's latest film, The Aviator.
Wow. I'm pretty sure the girl I like is named Kelsey. I'm just looking at a big crew.
I knew you were doing the same thing.
I could feel our like curious like. I mean, baby, we're like kind of ruled by Mercury as a planet, so I like it made sense that we'd be like, give me the info.
I'm a Leo.
I know, but you have a lot of Virgo, which is ruled by Mercury, and then I have the Mercury placement.
I'm a Taurus rising.
Oh my God,
and Aquarius moon.
He's laying it all out there. Well, I'm a Taurus and sun, Aries Mercury, moon, Cancer rising,
Mars, and
go on.
the Venus are ruled by Virgo.
Good.
And our Saturn return just finished.
It did, baby. Good job. Yeah, anyway, so...
Back to these children.
So Devad is also now petitioning for the gold star once again. So basically, we've seen all this gold star thing. She wants to make this flyer that's like, nominate me. She's passing out snacks.
And she's making band flyers, punk flyers.
Pretty much, she's making a zine. And so now we're having the town council, like, pre-meeting in the church or whatever, where they ask people who should win the gold star, which I like that they do that. I like that we get to hear everybody kind of weigh in of what they think. And everyone's kind of nominating, like, a bunch of randoms, basically. But then Greg pulls old class grandparents. Again, we'll love this moment. But Greg is like, I want to nominate Nathan.
My dog.
And they
don't miss my dogs.
And Andre's like, he hates him.
Andre is Mr. Captain Obvious.
I know.
Sorry to say.
He is. He's Captain Underpants and Captain Obvious all at the same time. And Dexter's Laboratory.
Captain Underpants.
You don't know Captain
Underpants. I know Captain Underpants, but Captain Underpants is a 40-year-old high school principal.
Oh, really? I don't know. I just said it because it sounded cool. Story of my life. So anyways, they're like, that's weird. Greg said it. But also, like, Devad came in and nominated herself. Some people said they voted for Pharaoh.
Strong Tracy.
So, you know, all the people we've seen. And then Greg comes in as like, Nathan, you know, he does a lot of work and people don't really recognize him. And basically he's like, he's weird. So
basically he's like, Nathan for me? No, Nathan for you.
Oh, my God. Kid Nathan.
Kid Nathan.
So, yeah. So now it's time for the town hall. No one's leaving Bonanza. Hooray, hooray. There wasn't even a teasing of anyone really leaving on this episode.
No, yeah, there was none of that.
And so also we also mentioned Taylor's like not in this episode for the first time.
Yes, this is the first episode.
Honestly,
where Taylor
didn't miss her really. I was like, thank you for the Taylor break.
Yeah, if I remember correctly from my first and only watch of this, I don't think she plays a big role for the second half of the season. So, sorry, all you Taylor heads out there. All you Swifties.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. So, now it's time for the town council. And they're voting on the gold star. And the gold star goes to...
Between Devad, Pharaoh, and Nathan, it goes to Nathan.
Kid Nathan. And so, again,
yeah.
I do think... Here's the thing. I think in a previous life, I've seen this episode and went, you know what? I like that they gave it to the kid who's clearly like an outsider. He probably doesn't feel like he has any friends. It feels like a very anti-bullying moment. Like, yeah. I do like it for those reasons. But I do think this episode, on a show that rarely features anyone who's not white, to have these two kids kind of like one working hard and putting herself out there. And the other one, I'm not going to say he wasn't working hard, but his main thing was just kind of asking and being like, hey, here's my story. Yeah. And I hope you hear me out.
Also, he seems like a hard worker. He hasn't gotten into trouble.
Seems nice. But like Devon's like really like trying to like be teacher's pet.
Yeah.
Where Pharaoh is just like, here's my life. And I think it was very like... I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way, but also I'm like basing, like, Kid Nation already wasn't really showing to be like an equal playing field space besides like the DK Gold Star moment.
Yeah.
But that was like just recently and like still not enough airtime, I think, for a lot of these kids. So I thought this was really racist and weird and just, I don't know. Like, watching it this time around, I was like, I don't know how I feel about Nathan getting this right now.
Yeah,
didn't feel right.
They basically like rewarded white mediocrity.
Yeah, that's like,
because it's like, he was, what did he do in this episode? He got bullied and he washed panties like really bad, poorly.
Yeah, but like that was the other thing, is like, I feel like other people, I don't know, like it seemed like this episode was editing it and story producing it to have these kids seem thirsty, even though they're just like pumping themselves up and they're like, hey, like I'm working hard, or hey, like I think I deserve this. Like, I think that's cool. And like a quality people should have as kids and adults. And yeah, Nathan shouldn't have gotten the gold star. That's what I have to say.
I agree.
So then Nathan, but it was worth it to watch Nathan's weird ass phone call home. So.
Oh God.
Hello.
Hi, Nathan.
Yeah, this is me.
Are you having a good time?
I had a very good time. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
So I went around helping out for a ton for 3 weeks straight. What would you give me as a reward?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you what I get.
a golden star.
A gold star? That's the same thing I would give you.
Except it's worth $20,000.
You're kidding me.
Right now, in my hand, I have a real gold star. And it's worth $20,000 that I can use for college, boarding school, candy, anything.
Also, he's from Illinois and he has a stronger Boston accent than Laurel's.
I think it might be a speech impediment. So yeah, Nathan wins a star. It could be. He might have
that
makes
you speak like a fucking townie.
You never know. It might be a cochlear thing. Cochlea. So then it's the credits and we see them all doing like a fake fashion runway, and that was the money episode, which felt really fitting in the midst of like money and systems and who gets what, and power is like a huge, it's always been a huge topic, but now that we're literally fighting for resources and not knowing what's going to happen next, it feels ultra on brand.
It came at a great week where the United States has like 20% unemployment.
I mean,
it's topical.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
But again, you're listening to this anytime. You're listening to this in 2028.
I mean, yeah.
President Ivanka Trump has brought peace and prosperity to the United States.
I mean, everyone's probably like scouring for water by this point and like squatting in their apartments because the landlords didn't allow to freeze rent. And everyone's just like, I'll kill you and your family, bitch, you land baron.
Not if Secretary of the Treasury Barron Trump has anything to say about it.
Can you please stop? So who would you give the gold star in this episode today, Mr. Pappy Man?
Well, I'm sorry if I'm stealing yours, but I think I got to give it to Kelsey Lu.
Oh, wow.
I love her. She's so funny. I mean, she says everything with such enthusiasm, but with like nothing behind it.
Yeah, I like Kelsey a lot. I think she's like...
I like wheat bread because it's brown and not white.
But so you're giving it to Kelsey.
Yes, but with Jared as in a strong second place.
I'm gonna give it to Devad. Oh. I think you're wrong and she's right. And it's Bonanza City. Fuck everybody. That's really like my leg to stand on.
Okay, but Bonanza City is supposed to be a microcosm of America, so you're saying fuck America.
I don't think she was stealing. I don't think what she was doing was wrong.
People, the fat cats on Wall Street don't think they're stealing. Doesn't mean it.
Oh my
not.
God. I don't think she's the big banks. Jesus. She's just selling peach cobbler for 5 cents.
Devad,
she's putting her time and skill.
Bear Stearns.
I'm going to give it to Devad. I salute you for a CEO out here.
She's a girl boss. Okay. Actually, you know what? She is a girl boss. She's putting it down.
I mean,
she's breaking the glass ceiling.
Yes, one right. Cobbler and fried potato at a time. Hashtag I'm not just a potato girl, which is what I think every time I sit down at my fat ass on the couch. I'm not just a potato girl. But I think, you know, Kid Nation, I'm really like, now I'm at that turning point where I'm like, I don't want this to end. Like, I just feel like we're getting...
I know.
We're moving along. There's still a lot of decent amount more episodes to go.
How many eps are there left?
I mean, I think there's 13. Right,
13 total. Okay, all right.
I mean, if there's 12, like, it's not like we like look that far ahead.
We'll just rewatch it again and do the podcast all over again.
We should do it like backwards, starting from the last episode, going forward,
like a snake draft in fantasy football.
Okay, we gotta go. Well, we'll see you next time in the Kid Nation Nation. Bye.
Roll on up Jerusalem, come on up Jerusalem, Sunday we go again,
live
Jerusalem.
Do the Alex scream with me again. 1, 2, 3.